that you have enjoyed this series so far. I've been amazed as I'm walking through the minor prophets to find so many different truths that are in them. And I know so many times it seems like so many of the themes is just this idea of doom and gloom, but it's not. There's much more to it as far as that's concerned. You know what? One of my least favorite questions of all time is when I drive through the drive-thru. I don't know about you, but you know, you're driving through McDonald's and you order your meal, and it's like, the next question is, would you like to supersize that? And I'm going, number one, do they have a mirror? I mean, do they know, do I really need to supersize that? It's like, do I really need more fries? Are they hot or are they cold? If they're hot, yes, I need more. If they're cold, keep them. You know, it's like, do I really need that? Because if I order it and I get the supersize, I don't mind the large drink, but somehow along the line, if those fries are sitting there, you know, it's like you have to eat them. And I don't need to eat them. So if I'm saying to myself, I'll get the supersize and I'll take them home to the dog, right? You know, then you have to put them in the bag, throw them on the floor as far away from you as you can possibly get so you take them home. But I don't like that question. Do you like the supersize? Because everything today is better if it's bigger, isn't it? Like, bigger is better. You take a boat ride down around the lakes, and I remember when there used to be these little cottages. Well, there are no cottages on the lake anymore, and the houses are bigger, and they're better. You know, you go to Circle K, and you get your 79-cent Polar Pop, which if you ever come through in a week, Tyler and I drink a lot of those. But right there at the countertop, they don't even put the little candy bars anymore. Now it's got to be the jumbo-sized candy bars, because I need four Reese's Cups instead of two. No, I don't. No matter how good they are. But it seems like bigger is always better, and that goes to the same thing, whether it's a house, whether it's the bigger schools are better, they must have better education, they must have better programs, they have everything you need. And then you get to the size of, well, churches must be better. If they're bigger, they must be better. The preaching must be better. Oh, come on, does it get much better? Okay. I mean, the preaching must be better, the music must be better, everything must be better because it's bigger. That's not the case. Bigger is not always better. Besides that, everything big started small. Think about it. The greatest inventions in the world started with a single thought, a small thought in someone's mind. The largest wildfires that we've ever seen in our country were started by a small spark. The universe that God created started with the smallest particles of all time, which is the atom. And somehow along the line, we think that it has to be bigger in order to be better. Zechariah's message to the people was a message that would make a lasting impact, because it wasn't a message that, I mean, honestly, how many times, unless you've read through the Bible every year, how many times have you read the book of Zechariah? Be honest with us. Not very many. Why? Well, it's a minor prophet. It's not really that important. It's a small book. Well, it's 14 chapters. It's not as small as half the minor prophets. And yet its message is inspirational. Its message is incredible, especially to a nation that had been torn down, that had beaten up, that was discouraged, that seemed to be completely without hope. And all of a sudden, his message comes out, and it's ringing. It is oozing with hope. It's oozing with a new future. It's oozing with great things that are yet to come. And I mean, so far, great things that are yet to come, to the point where he's talking about Jesus and he's talking about the end times that Revelation talks about. Great things are yet to come. These people have been carried away. This is not before the exile. This isn't even during the exile. This is after the exile. This is after the days, and I'll give you the names, a reference of Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is after them. People have been brought back to Jerusalem to start to rebuild their kingdom, to start to rebuild their country. The Persians had a very different flow as far as government was concerned. They wanted people to live in their homelands, unlike the Babylonians who just took the best of the best. They wanted you to have your religion. Why? If you were happy where you lived, in your home, with your religion, then maybe you wouldn't rebel against them. So they wanted the people to rebuild their temple. They wanted the people to rebuild their lifestyle. And they took their governor, his name was Zerubbabel, say that 10 times fast, and they put him in Jerusalem, and he was commanded to rebuild the city. Zechariah's grandfather was Iddo. Iddo was one of the greatest priests that had ever lived. He had kind of taken the old ways off to Babylon and was brought back to Jerusalem to restore everything that they had known. So Zechariah had heard the stories. He had understood the past. He knew how important it was to not only be a grandson and not only to be a prophet that he was called to be, but he was also a priest. He was in a very elite sense of people. And he would share this message of hope, this message of overcoming. It was about 538 when they were brought back to Jerusalem. The city was in desolation. Houses were in rubble. The wall was down. Nehemiah had tried to start to rebuild it, and everything was seemed like it was starting to go right, and the people were just looking at the task, and it was monumental in hand. It was almost like they couldn't handle it, and they didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do because they continued to look at themselves and say, hey, I can do this, and you and I know how that goes for us. And all of a sudden, they needed to find a better place to get their strength. Zechariah comes along, and his name literally means Yahweh remembers. From the very get-go, his message was positive. Yahweh did not forget his people. And I don't know about you, but we all need a message of hope, don't we? We all need a message of encouragement when it seems like times are getting tough. Our kids need one right now as they're getting ready to go back to school, and they're in new teachers and new classrooms, and they're like, I don't know which way to turn, I don't know where to go. Some of them are in new buildings that they've never even been in. Some of our college kids are headed back off to college. Some of them for the very first time will be all by themselves. There's a major prayer request and a sense that they could be pretty discouraged and down. The cooking's not like mom's. The bed's not as soft. It's go through countless different things. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get down. It's easy to feel like nothing is going my way, and all of a sudden we start to read through the text and we start to see hope. Hope that seems so small, but that seems beyond measure. And Zechariah shares this passage of Scripture. If you have your Bibles with me or your app, I want to encourage you to open up to Zechariah chapter 6. And as we read through this, I really want you to follow, or chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. I really want you to follow along, and you're going to go, how is he preaching this message out of this? If you just follow step by step, you'll kind of walk right through what we're looking at. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountains? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the top stone amidst shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever despises the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, if you're a construction person, you may understand some of those words, some of that thought process. But great things were about to happen. Amazing things were about to happen, and it wasn't by their own hands. It was by the hand of God. Oh, they had remembered the stories of how the temple had used to be. And that's the hard part. The Temple of Solomon was amazing. It was massive. It was beyond measure. The doors were covered in gold. They had all of these beautiful lampstands. Everything was there. There was nothing for them to start with. They had no money. They had very little man hours, very little manpower to do stuff. And they were going, I don't know how I could do this. It's too big. I can't possibly do this task. And God's saying, oh, yes, you can. They felt weak. They felt hopeless. They were discouraged. Where do we turn? How do we do this? And all of a sudden, Zechariah shares this message. And I don't know about you, but I know there are times that you're filled with doubt and despair. And where do you turn when those times are there? Where do you turn to? Where do you run? Where do you hide? Do you kind of bury yourself in your own pity? You have a pity party for yourself? Maybe you bury yourself in a half gallon of ice cream? Where do you run? Do you have a tendency to get farther away from God or closer and closer? Because it's real easy to turn and run the other way. To say that he doesn't care. He's not listening to my prayers. He's not hearing me. I don't get it. And that's exactly what's happening here. The naysayers, those people that are on the outside saying, you can't rebuild that temple. It's too big. It'll never be the way that it used to be. And the naysayers are starting to win. It's a good thing in history that we've never listened to naysayers. Here's some headlines from many years ago. Somebody may remember the last one. If you remember the first one, you're a lot older than I possibly could ever imagine, and you hide your age well. Because it was in 1840 that anyone traveling at the speed of 30 miles an hour would surely suffocate. How's that work for anybody this week, okay? It was in 1878 that it said electric lights are unworthy of serious attention. I'm glad they're not. Okay, 1897. A British philosopher and physicist and mathematician said it this way, radio has no future. 1926. This foolish idea of shooting at the moon is basically impossible. And in 1946, I love this one because it's very prevalent today. TV won't be able to hold on to any market it captures after the first 6 months. People will get tired of staring into a plywood box. Wow. I don't know that that's a, I think that we proved them wrong. But there were naysayers on the outside, weren't they? That was right there. And they seen people are on the outside saying, you can't rebuild the temple. It'll never happen. And God's saying, it will. But not by your own might, not by your own power. And God is just telling his people it can be done. And he's telling them, just do it. Just do it. Stop listening to everyone else and just do it. I'm going to walk right through the text, the next couple verses. So if you have your Bibles, you want to look through there. Verse 6 is iconic. I mean, we sing songs about this. I remember used to singing camp songs, you know, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by anything that you can do. It is by God's power, by his might, by his spirit that you and I can do all things. It's not by human strength. It's not by any political power. I don't care what country you live in. I don't care what TV show you watch. It's not by anything that we can do here on earth. It is by God's power that we can overcome. You can overcome your weaknesses, your discouragement, your hopelessness. The same message is being preached to them that's being shared with us. Verse 7 goes on a little bit farther. It says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, that you shall become a plain. Other translation says that you will become level. In other words, there is no obstacle. Think about a mountain. I mean, I don't even like to climb a high hill anymore, okay? Stand at the bottom of a mountain. And it says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to move, and it will move. Why? Because God can move that mountain. And it will become level in your eyes. There is no obstacle too big for God. That's exactly what Zechariah is telling the people. There's no obstacle too big. Nothing can stand in their way. And all we're going to end up doing in the end is we're going to be shouting and praising the Lord of hosts. And the end of verse 7 says, then he We'll bring out the capstone with shouts of praise of God bless it, God bless it. In other words, the completion will be done. And as he comes out and as we finish the temple, the people will be standing around. The naysayers will be standing off in the distance because the people of God have overcome. Listen, there are naysayers around us everywhere today. Turn on the television, that box. Listen to the radio that wasn't supposed to work. People around us every day that tell us that religion is no good. Oh, you don't need God. You don't need that church stuff. You can do it on your own. I don't think, when I read this text, I can't do it without God. I can't. He tells them simply this, let the critics shout. Let them just keep working. Maybe a new way to say that today is that let the haters hate. If there's a song out there like that. Let them hate. I don't care. Let people shout out amidst their own shouts of praise and what they want to hear. Let them hate. But God will overcome and good things will happen when you and I step out in faith. There will always be critics. When we change something, when we try to reach a new generation, when we tread on an old tradition, sometimes people will shout, won't they? They will cry out, oh, we never did it that way before. You can't change things on us. People will shout and they'll doubt. But God says, don't fear, don't doubt, not by your might, but by mine. The one who started a good work in you and I will complete it. And it will complete it in that day. Just in the same way that Zerubbabel finished that temple, the one who started the project, he would complete it. But ultimately, it was God who was the architect. And he's still our architect. He's still the one working in our lives each and every day. You see, the critics, sometimes even those who believe, seem to find the scope of the work too big. I don't know if we can do it. Then you look at verse 10. Mike, I might have skipped ahead a little bit. But whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. The end is in sight. Something great can come from something so small. Have you ever heard the story of Holman Walsh? My guess is that you're probably going, who is that? Maybe you stood up at the Niagara River, standing in front of Niagara Falls, and you read a plaque about this young boy. They were trying to figure out, an idea was sprouted up to say, hey, about a century ago, that we should build a bridge between the United States and Canada across the Niagara. Engineers looked at it, architects looked at it and said, there's no way it can be done. It's too big a gap. It's the cliffs are 800 feet deep. The rapids are way too rough to be able to set a boat down there or to put any kind of rigging. It can't be done. We can't even get anything all the way across. And all of a sudden, the idea came up from someone that said, what if we could get a young boy to fly a kite across the river? And then we could attach a larger string to his kite string and pull it across. And then we could get a rope onto that string and pull it across. Then we could get a slender cable onto that rope and we could pull it across. Then we could get a larger cable onto that cable and pull it across. And guess what? A bridge was built. But everyone seems to forget the rest of Holman's story. Holman decided to take that challenge and says, you know, I think I can do it. He started to study, started to go out at night and figure out when the winds were just right. He lived on the American side. He took the ferry across to Canada and figured the winds were always blowing south. He needed to be in Canada. He climbed 2 miles along the cliffs of the river. Got to the point where they wanted to build the bridge. Waited until midnight when it seems like the winds had lulled just enough that he could get his kite up without ripping to pieces. Get his kite high, high above the gorge, and all of a sudden, he felt like it went down. He saw the string go down, and it landed. Pulled, was tight, pulled again, and all of a sudden, Snap. A string had broken. It was just about winter time. He went back to catch the ferry. The ferry had been delayed because of the ice on the river. This young boy was stranded 8 days in Canada because of the ice. Before he could get back to the American side just to get his kite and do the whole thing all over again. But this time he succeeded. And from there, it was a larger rope, it was a slender cable, it was the big cable, and the bridge that we all probably have driven across at one point or another started because of a young boy and a small kite. Something big was built because of something small. It was over 75 years ago that some women had a dream. They wanted a place for their kids to study. They wanted a place for their kids to go to Bible school and to be able to learn a little bit more about Jesus. And those women, yes, I said women, started a Bible study and a place for their kids. Adults started to come and they started to preach a little bit. Started to raise some money and they had fish fries and they built the building of the basement of a building. More and more people came. They had more and more fish fries. They built a bigger building. And what you and I sit in right now is Lakeview Christian Church. It was started just up the hill at Lakeview Church of Christ. Why? Because somebody had this small dream to start something for kids. That dream would build into such a large building that we have to move, find new land, find a new place. But they still wanted something for kids. They would start a Christian preschool. They'd start Sunday school. They'd start Vacation Bible School. And what you and I know as Lakeview Christian Church was built because of a small dream. God has big things in store for this small church. But remember, I think everything big came from something small. God has bigger dreams for Lakeview than just where we are. I'm not saying that we need to build bigger and better buildings and facilities. Before that ever happens, the biggest thing that we have to do is we have to build our hearts. We have to build bigger and better visions, bigger and better dreams that we can, that our message doesn't stay inside these four walls. That our message goes out into the world where people need to hear the message of Jesus. Because God can use small things in a really, really big way. Yeah, we're remodeling. I hope that in the next 2 weeks you're going to see the social hall is finally, the plans are done. It will be transformed in the next few weeks as we start to see things happen. With new walls, with new carpet, with new trim, it'll be beautiful. But those things happen not because of what we can do. They happen because of what God has done with us and for us. So don't ever think, oh, this is what we've accomplished. We haven't accomplished anything. God has accomplished it all. Over the next few weeks, or the next few months, we're going to start a new series. It's entitled Don't Give Up. It'll be straight out of Hebrews 11 and 12, and I am really excited about sharing with you. We're going to be sharing in small groups. We're going to be sharing in smaller sections and groups so we can learn and we can grow together. Then after that, we're going to start another series called Circle Makers. And it's all about prayer. Who is in my circle that I can pray for, that I can reach out to? Who is in my world that I can talk to, that I can share with? Why? Because the message is not meant to stay here. It is meant to go out there. Because God has bigger things in store for. There are people that still need to know the message and the hope that Jesus brings. Because there are people outside these worlds that are discouraged, that are down, that are hopeless. And you and I have a message to share. But listen, right out of Zechariah, you can read the words in chapter 14. There is a day coming. Why do we have hope? Because there is a day coming. In verse 1, he says, it's coming. In verse 7, he says it would be a unique day. In verse 8, he says that it will be a day with living water flowing from Jerusalem. And then in verse 9, he tells us not just this day, not just the day of Jesus, but the day that is still coming, and a day that you and I should hope for, that we should long for, that we should talk about, that we should share about. And the Lord will be the king over all the earth, and his name will be the only name. Friends, there is a day coming. A day when all hopelessness will be gone. A day when discouragement will be thrown out the window. A day when you and I will smile and we will have joy like we're supposed to have every day. But we will live it, we will breathe it. Everything that we know will be filled with joy because there is a day, as Zechariah says, a day coming when our Savior will return. And I hope you long for that day. Why do we ask you to pray every day? To long for that day. Why do I ask you to read every day? And I hope your reading is going well. Why? So that you can learn and know about that day that is coming. So that you can prepare your hearts and prepare your minds and help to prepare others. The message of Christianity is not mine. It's not yours. It is his. And it is a message that is designed to be shared everywhere we go, to bring hope, to bring joy, to get rid of discouragement, to get rid of hopelessness, and to get rid of the world that's out there, to shut up the critics, to tell the haters, you can hate, but I got a message of love. And that's a message that we all need to hear. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Lord, help us to find inspiration, to have that dream that maybe we can fly that kite a little bit farther, a little bit higher, that we can take our message a little bit farther and a little bit wider, that you're with us to give us strength because ours is not enough. It is not by my might nor by my power, but it is by yours and yours alone. Father, pray this morning if someone's here that needs to know Jesus, that message about a day coming, that message about a Savior hanging on a cross, a message when he took the sins of the world upon him, Father, that they would come. Maybe they would ask questions and wonder what that's about. Father, I know that we had a young one that was baptized Wednesday night at camp. I know we've got another one this Wednesday night here. Father, we rejoice in that. But we know that there's still others that need to make the decision. Reach out to them today. In your name.